And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and we are on 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that if you have to get out of the car right now because you're about to go for dinner or something, or you just got home, or you missed the beginning, you can always go to our own website at www.nagb.org.bs and go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can listen to all the archive shows that are stored there as MP3s. So on a rainy day, you can listen to the Blank Canvas again. While you're on the website, I always encourage people to go to our calendar, because we do always have a bucket load of stuff going on at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. Most of it is also free, so we really encourage people to like look at the calendar and see what's on. We don't only have art shows, we do movie screenings, we have talks with artists, we have talks with curators, we have all kinds of stuff. So go to the calendar and see what's upcoming. I think tomorrow night, on Thursday the 28th, we have a free screening of the Sidney Poitier movie, A Raisin in the Sun. That is open to the public, and as I said, it is free, as most things at the NAGB are. We have ticket admission during the week, but on Sundays from noon to 5, the NAGB is also free for any Bahamian or resident in the Bahamas, so really there's no reason not to come, so we always say come on down and see what's going on there. I'm going to now turn back to our guest tonight, who is a visiting art writer from New York. He was here to give us a talk at the National Art Gallery to our community of a lot of teachers and students about the importance of art writing and art criticism. So, Seth, why writing about art?
I think writing about art does a few things. It keeps artists honest. I think that's one thing it does. Because we both know, and I think listeners will know, that in their own walks of life, conversations can become really insular really quickly. So you end up talking to the same people. You end up talking not even only about the same things, but you end up talking about them in the same ways. I think what art writers do that's really valuable to artists and to the art scene generally, is they say, I'm standing slightly outside of this, slightly outside of the community that you're used to operating in. And I can say, here's what I see from here. And here's how your work affects me. And here's what other artists who are dealing with similar issues like you're dealing with have done. I think that's super valuable. Two, I think that we give, so the thing about work is that, artwork is that there, every single artwork I think that is made has several levels of meaning, right? So there's, for anybody who walks into any gallery or any museum at any point in time, they will see certain things in the work. But not everything in the work will be available to them. I would argue that what I do is I get you to just see more. Just have a richer, deeper, broader experience with the artwork. Because it is full of meaning. As I said the other day in my lecture that I gave at the National Gallery, even work that looks bad is invested with time and energy and care and attention and something of the artist. I mean, it's hard to sort of avoid talking about this in spiritual terms. Something of the artist's essence, soul, is in the work. He or she put it there. And that thing, there's a wonderful scene in Hamlet, the William Shakespeare play, where I forget the name of the character. It might be Mercutio. Is challenging Hamlet, and he's trying to say, well, your motivation is this. You're this simple, and Hamlet says to him, oh, really? Here's a violin. Can you play on it? Can you play it? And he's like, well, no, I'm not really. I haven't trained. And it's like, oh, but you can you know me, right? You can just play me. I'm much more complicated than this musical instrument. And there's something about that too that resonates in terms of visual art, the thing is really complicated. Mm-hmm. It almost always is. There's several layers of meaning. And I just feel like because I, or not just feel, I know that because of my training and because of my, because this is my life, that I can help people see more mm-hmm. of what's available. And another thing that I do, and this I also mentioned in the lecture, that I can help nurture artists. And by that, I don't mean necessarily that I'm always in a position to tell them what to do with their practice or whether they're going wrong, whether they should go in another direction. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about merely even being a connector. I can be someone, and I noticed this as I've developed my own understanding in the last few years from doing studio visits with artists, that part of what I do is I'll say, like for instance, I met this artist, Marella Zacharias, I think her name is. I saw her show at Sipar Contemporary Gallery, which is downtown New York City. And I know the gallerist, Nina, very well. I've known her for a couple of years now.
Nina and, Levent.
She's great. So I kind of got to know Marella. We actually ended up being at the same parties in some instances. And I really like her. And I was curious about her work. I really didn't know what to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that Teresita Fernandez was someone that it might who would be useful for her to talk to. So mm-hmm. I just connected them.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, I think it was Teresita or Marella sent me an image of them hanging out together with a note that just said, thank you for connecting us.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I'm not able to talk in very sort of insightful ways about everybody's practice, one of the things I can do at least is say, well, here's this artist I know who's dealing with some of the same issues, and they're really dealing with them in sophisticated ways. Maybe y'all should talk
mm-hmm. yeah.
and see where that takes you.
Mm-hmm.
So those are at least three different ways that I think mm-hmm. being an arts writer is a real asset to the arts ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely, I wouldn't disagree, which is, of course, why I brought you down here. Because one of the things we're trying to do is encourage more people to write about art as well as to just come and look at it. Because if you're making art sort of in a vacuum or there's no response to it, it's like, how do you... Maybe it's a little directionless, right? And having that kind of feedback can be so valuable and sometimes difficult, but also valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that a difficult part of what you do? That if you know you get a negative reaction to something you've written, or do you? I know you do. We talked about it, but because I would imagine your intention isn't to, you know, you're not just out. Your intention is to, again, like, be of value. How do you deal with that kind of kickback?
Right. So I want to be specific in addressing that question. One, most of the time, the kind of pushback I get is not even really pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it's just I can tell when I've written something that a PR person or an artist or a gallery really doesn't like, because when I typically will have dealt with them through email, either asking for images or asking for clarification on something in a press release or asking, usually it's images. Because they send me these things and because they actually correspond with me, I do feel it's my duty to, once the review goes up, to send them a link and say, here's mm-hmm. up, so you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I can tell when they do not like something I've written because they don't reply.
Okay.
They just say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What I used to get, and it actually doesn't happen very much anymore, is when I wrote something that was quote-unquote controversial, I would get a lot of blowback on the comment section mm-hmm. on the Hyperallergic site.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Again, that doesn't happen that much anymore. I'm not sure. Maybe because people have figured out that I'm not a pushover and that I will answer claims or attacks that are leveled against me. I don't know. I'm guessing. But in the comment section, having to deal with that, and I'm thinking mostly, what was this, middle of 2018 to about 2017, 16, is when that used to happen a lot. It used to make me really anxious. Mm-hmm. It was not a fun experience. It's not a fun experience.
You know, I know it's not, because I think, and I say that to people a lot. I mean, you're talking about the effort put into things. It's like, it's very easy to be, and I don't want to use the word critical because we're talking about criticism, which is something very different, but it's easy to just be mean about people just for the sake of being mean or to face it being. So, as you know, I operate also, or like I'm a consultant for a fair, and people will say, oh, should I go to XYZ fair? I heard it's really bad. And I always say, it's impossible that everything's bad.
Right.
It's impossible. It's a mathematical impossibility. So
right.
if you're really curious,
right.
you know, I would say go everywhere and see everything if right. you have the time.
Right.
I'm not going to say, like, eh, don't get it. It might not be what I do or what I'm interested in, but right. it could very well be what you're interested in.
Right.
So, you know, and then again, when you do make our judgments, like you accept people in, or as working as a curator, you invite certain artists and not other ones, it does, you know, you most, and I always say, everyone in the art world is here because we believe in art.
Right.
We're passionate about art.
Right.
Generally, there are a few. And
there are a few grifters. Yeah.
There are a few grifters. And generally, we're trying to, again, like add value or support or create platforms.
Precisely.
No one's going in order to be, to just be mean or to make someone's life. And so it is. It's very difficult when you get that. And it does make you anxious. And you're sort of like, oh wait, you know, and... So that's why I ask, because it's quite a difficult position to put yourself in, because you're exposing yourself as well. You speak about the artist leaving something in the artwork. As a critic and a writer, you're also putting a lot of yourself out there.
And when people have responded to, for example, one of the most controversial things I wrote was the piece the review I wrote about the Jamaica Biennial in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of blowback. Mm-hmm. I got blowback on the comments page. I got blowback on Facebook. It was hard. But one of the things that really bothered me was there's a woman I think I met at the biennial, and I'm not sure, but I think at the last day there were several people who were in the audience, and I was on a panel on stage with a bunch of artists and curators, and I think there's a woman who shook my hand, and in the comment section she said something like, you know, I read your piece, and I can't believe that you'd be this irresponsible to write this. I know these people, I work with them, this is just really unfair. And that made me angry. It made me angry because it hurt me, because using that word with me is really, what's the word? It's uncalled for. I'm not ever irresponsible. I take what I do very seriously. And in that case, there was some pushback because one of the chief curators accused me of misquoting him. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I said what he said. It was something that was unpalatable, so I can understand why you want to back out of that. But never irresponsible. I've always said what I've written what I've written because I want to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in shining a light on. In areas where that may not be so well lit.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, I believe that if we live in truth as adults, that is better than not.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, if we say to each other, yes, okay, so this work wasn't as successful as we would have liked, or this biennial wasn't as successful as we had hoped for, that's okay, because you're aware of what is actually happening in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
With that knowledge, you can do better.
Yeah.
So I fundamentally believe in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's so tricky, isn't it? Because, again, there's the face we want to wear. And there's so many pressures as well, because I can understand, like, you work for an institution, for example. You're then thinking, oh, my God, is this going to affect, like, I do believe that, but maybe it's not something I wanted to say in front of my colleagues or let them down. And so, again, there's all those different things at play, right? So it is very tricky. But again, we go back to that conversation we had before we got on the air about how to have honest conversations. It's a really hard thing to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really hard thing to do. And it's something as an adult you have to do more and more of. And it doesn't get easier.
No, I agree.
Right? I'm speaking with Seth Rodney, who is an art writer based in New York, who writes and edits Hyperallergic, which I do. And if you're interested in the art world and what's happening outside of the Bahamas as well, I encourage you to read it. And Seth's came down to give a lecture on the value of art criticism at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And we've been kind of taking him around and having a few days together, and We're going to talk more after this break. So you're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We'll be right back after this break.